firing at hydraulics, ladies and germs. They will knock it out. They're in it to win it. Randy Dalton is all ball to the core. Online at daltonbearing.com. So if you're in that business, if you are hunting a hydraulic power unit, if you are hunting a hose or a hose assembly or a fitting or a coupling, they're going to knock it out for you at Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. As we go back to our busy phones, again, my name is Tony Basilio. If you're just joining us here, you can check out our work at TonyBasilio.com each and every day. I try to put a blog up for you during the week. We have all kinds of folks who check in from time to time. You'll hear from young Christian Lundy, who is in transit from tonight's workout. And good for Butch Jones and his entire staff. They took part in that ALS Ice Bucket Challenge tonight. All those guys had had some cold water dumped on them. Brocky, will you be doing that anytime soon, as much as you love the cold?
Basilio, that's probably one thing I could stand. You know,
Brocky,
me.
Brocky wears shorts in the middle of the wintertime. Let's go back to our phones.
Hey, I just listened to Marlon Lane. You know, a lot of these players are doing that. You know, the ice bucket.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Man, they're all used to it because they get those tubs every day. So it's no big deal to them.
Absolutely.
But it's a good thing.
It's a great thing.
Great cause. So.
Let's go back to our phones and let's grab another caller as Robbie will be up next with us tonight. If you were at tonight's scrimmage, love to hear from you. If you didn't make tonight's scrimmage and you have a question or a comment for us thus far, please, by all means, the floor is open for you. And Robbie, hello and welcome to the Smart Way, Dalton Bearing, fifth quarter fan reaction.
It's great to hear Brocky back on the airwaves with you.
Yeah, Brocky's back in the mix and back in the hunt.
Yeah, his uncle is a personal mentor of mine, Phil, the mayor. So
interesting.
Yeah, and Coach Mike Hutchins from Catholic High School. I model my life after those guys, Brocky. So, but I was
I know where you hang out on Saturday.
I didn't get to the practice tonight. I just had a couple of questions. First off, Tony, just simply because we were over there at the same time. You can't tell anything from a practice. Does it look like athletically we've got guys that have that look that the guys had when we were there in the 90s when we were good? Do we have thoroughbreds?
I would say yes and no.
Some.
Yes. I think you're going to see more of those guys, and as a wide receiver, no doubt about it. At running back, I think they're going to be okay. Tight end, we've not talked about that position. You know, it's because he wears number 82 and all, but that Wolf kid, this looks like another
nice
Jason Witten. I mean,
what a nice
player. They've got the Ellis kid. They're really stacked at tight end. Linebacker, I think they're getting better. But man, the great unknown still is, now I'll say defensive ends with Hendricks and Barnett and those guys.
Much better shape. Even though they're new, much better shape.
The Robertson kid, at the offensive guard, he looks like a guard from back, a Harry,
It's bizarre.
But there's
a week in.
But defensive, from the defensive tackle position and even offensive tackle.
That's the deal. It's the two tackles.
I don't see it just yet.
And the truth is, at this level, you're not going to beat people that matter if you can't play defensive tackle and you can't play offensive tackle. Now, you'll steamroll the lesser likes, but man, you're not even going to win the 50-50 games if you're not better at offensive tackle than Tennessee is right now. You're just not.
Well, what was this in the secondary? What was it that got Rocky Top Insider tweeted out something about Butch ate Evan Berry's soul? It will be a while before he gets back on the field again. What happened?
I don't know. I don't know what that's in reference to. I don't know. Maybe we'll ask him here. You saw that from Rocky Top Insider?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was one of their tweets that said Butch Jones 8, Evan Berry's soul will be a while before he wants to get back on the field.
I know one time he got on him for not running off the field, I think, or either running off or running on the way they're supposed to, but I didn't hear anything else after that, so I don't know if that's what he's alluding to or not. So,
Butch can be a little bit harder on those two than the other freshmen I've picked up. I don't know. Well, a little bit. I've kind of halfway paid attention to them.
I don't know. I can't speak to that. I'll tell you this. I think he's really high on this class, and I think he's coaching those guys hard because he knows.
Yeah.
He's been through this at Cincinnati. He's been through this at other stops. The kids are going to absolutely have to play early and often. And as hard as he's going to be on them, hey, when they get in game situation, there's nowhere to run and nowhere to hide.
With Alabama?
With any of those. Yeah, exactly.
Georgia, Florida.
No doubt about it.
South Carolina. So I'm just hoping we can get, you know, it just sounds to me that, you know, the best thing that could happen this year, we've got to make a bowl game so they get that extra practice. They can keep the boys on campus there during after exam time. It allows, you know, there's a lot of hidden benefits to those practices. You know,
no doubt about it. I'll tell you what. Hey, there's benefits from having a practice in front of 45,000 people for your kids. Butch Jones said that's the biggest crowd. A lot of those kids, especially the freshmen, those kids have never seen a crowd that size.
Yeah, I think it probably gave them the idea of how many people it was, yet how many empty seats there still were. The pictures you all tweeted out were pretty cool. So I wish I could have made it down there, but yeah, ask. So you got the Rocky Top Insider guys coming up?
Yeah, at some point. I do, uh-huh.
Yeah, don't forget to ask him about that Evan Berry thing. So, I don't know. It just seems like he's riding them hard. I think he expects more out of them. So he probably should. I mean, they're berries. So. Anyhow, you guys, this is an awesome thing you're doing, Tony, and I'll get out of the way.
All right, man. Thank you.
Take care, man.
Take care.
Great call. Good hearing from him. Any thoughts on anything that he had to say before we jump back to the phones, Brock?
I just don't know enough about the Evan Berry reference, unless it's what I heard Jones say to him the one time. But outside that, I didn't catch anything else that stood out. But I may have dismissed it. So
yeah, and again, Twitter's a weird thing. I mean, earlier tonight I threw out a tweet, and I don't know how I phrased it, but I meant to say that he was whipping the crowd into a frenzy. And that's not the term I use, but I like that. When he got on the mic and talks to the crowd, you know, Brocky, I like stuff like that. I think it's good to engage. It's good to engage your crowd and make.
He's
got
a little bit of wrestling in him.
He does. He's a marketing guy.
Yeah, he is. He sure is.
And you know what? He's shown up at a perfect time because we need a marketing guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know what? The other fact is, in this day and age, the rest of it's playing football. 99% of it now is how you package it.
Yep. You're right.
Back to the phones we go. Let's grab GQF, who's up next with us. GQF, hello.
Hey, Brocky, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Jaker, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. Hey, first thing I want to do is give a shout-out to John Gruden and Jeke Jr. John Gruden turns 51 tomorrow, and Jeke Jr. turns 18 tomorrow.
Goodness. Share birthdays, huh?
Share birthdays.
Yeah.
You can't beat that.
You're two.
August 17th.
The two people, two of the three people you're closest to. When's King Johnny? When's his birthday?
I'll be honest with you, Brocky. I'm not sure when the King's birthday is. But that's pretty cool. I don't care who you are.
it's pertinent to tonight.
Yeah,
I'll say
it
that.
Sure is.
Hey, I want to ask a question because, and Tony, I apologize. Had some friends drop in, and I had you on mute, and I've not heard the first part of the show. But I really want, and I don't mean to be sarcastic, but I really probably will sound sarcastic. How did our best quarterback compare to our first string quarterback tonight?
Oh, goodness.
Why? Why are we doing that?
But still, let me ask you a question. I don't get to listen much during the week, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Where's all this rumbling coming from that Peterman's really like won this thing from? He ought to be the guy. Is that from the guys that you know that have been to practice every day, or
well,
what's the deal?
the guy who's been most vociferous about it is Reed Carringer.
Okay. All right.
From RockyTopInsider.com. And also Football Time in Tennessee. That's his family.
Yeah, right.
Three generations of folks and chronicling Tennessee. And here's the thing about him. He goes to every practice. He talks to tons and tons of people. He's not pulling it out of thin air. In fact, I made a couple phone calls the other day after talking to him. And the way I've presented this on the air, any of that, is, look, I'm not over there like those guys are. I'm not over there day in and day out. I don't pretend to have the inner working knowledge that those guys do. And here's the way these things fall, okay? On any of these situations, when it comes to the quarterback deal at all, here, and you know this from the past, from your dealings, you're going to have people who are going to give you the company line.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You're going to have people who will parrot what the coach wants them to say in the press. That's going to happen.
Yep.
You're going to have people like me that don't care, that are just going to say, this is what I think, this is what I see, this is what I'm hearing. That's what Reed Carringer in this case is doing.
Okay.
He's saying, this is what I think. And he said to me the other day, and it was, I didn't pry it out of him. In fact, my line was, you can go back and listen, it happened on Thursday show at the end of the program. If I didn't know he was going to do that, I would have put him on off the top and made a radio show out of it, okay? But what I did is I said, Reed, I said, you know how strong what you just said sounds? He goes, yeah, I know how strong it sounds. And I think that this quarterback deal was a farce.
Mm.
I think they called it a quarterback competition. It wasn't. And here's where I come back to. This is what I'm going to say. In light of tonight, in light of any night, in light of what, Butch Jones is the head coach. His job is to put the team on the field that he thinks can help him win games.
Yeah.
If he feels like Worley is the guy that's the best game manager there, then so be it. Put Worley out there and let him play.
Hey, Tony. Hey, do me a favor. I didn't get to see him tonight, so tell me who played better tonight.
Jeeger, I can't tell you who played better. They both looked fine to me. But I didn't watch every snap. I didn't watch every throw. There was other things going on the field at the same time, et cetera, and I tried to catch you, to catch some of that as well. So I can't tell you that that either one of them looks much better than the other. The one thing I will say, I thought they both looked better than Dobbs.
That's right.
I thought that was pretty clear. But
yeah.
But just the competition between the two, I can't say there was a big difference one way or the other. But I didn't watch every snap. So.
Hey, Brocky, let me ask you this. Do you agree with my middle school basketball coach that says if he's got a seventh grader and an eighth grader and they're equal, that he's going to play the seventh grader because the eighth grader's not going to be there next year?
Let me guess. Your middle school football coach was not Philip Fulmer. Go ahead, Brocky.
Well, I hate to be a wuss on this, but it just depends. At a position as important as quarterback, there's more to it than just throwing the football, Tony. That's just it. I mean, everybody talked about Riley Ferguson's arm, but I never saw anything that made me feel like he had the head to run the show, that he had the heart to run the show, and evidently he doesn't. So
as somebody said to me, Jaker, who was more physically talented as a freshman, Peyton Manning or Brandon Stewart?
Brandon Stewart.
There's more to playing quarterback than just...
Yeah, but Tony, this guy's a senior. My wife's telling me to shut up.
All right, Jake, well, I'm going to listen to her. You're out of here.
That's right, Jaker. You're gone.
But thank you tonight for the phone call.
His wife's a smart one in the family.
Yeah,
you've already picked up on that.
She can scream to him, you need to shut up. As I remind you, ladies and germs, you are tuned live tonight to the Smart Way, Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction. An opportunity to remind you that Smart Way, everything for your home, pay your way. Pay your way. Go to Smart Way. You can go online, gosmartway.net. Go online, gosmartway.net. And remember, Smart Way, the everything for your home store where you will pay your way. 8416 Kingston Pike, out near Bearden High School. The phone number there, 247-6544. But remember, go online. They have everything for home. You're going to see it. You're going to see what you see. When you walk into this place, you're going to know what I'm talking about. First of all, it's huge. It is absolutely huge. And the bottom line is they're revolutionizing their business, because truly you'll get the opportunity to pay your way. And they are a retailer of furniture, appliances, electronics, cell phones. They even have tires there, and they offer products in a way that you've never seen offered before. Look, you can buy it today, pay in full. You can choose $120, same as cash, pay the cash price within the first 120 days, or you can choose a lease purchase, rent-to-own agreement, in which you choose your payment amount and the frequency you're going to make your payment. And if you want to change your payment of any of the above, if you want to mix and match, go off the board, that's why we say pay your way. You can do it. No game stoppage, hassle-free, you the man, you the lady, you decide. With Smart Way, everything for your home where you pay your way. Go smartway.net. And they also have a location over in the Carolinas. As I get ready to go back to our busy phones at 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. As I remind you tonight, Tony Basilio, Jeff Brock in studio with you. We are going to have Reed Carringer on here from RockyTopInsider.com. And apparently he really did stir him up, Brocky, didn't he? People are stirred up, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Some people. They sure are.
Some people. I'm not going to act like the world's on fire here. Let me get Christian Lundy here in here without further ado. Christian, I welcome you in. It's great to have you in studio with us. Thanks for your hard work, man.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. Thanks for having me on. I'm not sure what the general consensus is. I haven't been able to hear it. I couldn't get your app working in my car. So I haven't been able to hear what the fans have thought. So the only thing I've heard is kind of some players and coaches' thoughts, and then maybe from some thoughts from some other people who watched it near me in the media.
Now,
so I'm not sure.
Now,
what are the thoughts of people?
Christian, are you telling me you couldn't? Why couldn't you get the app to work? You got me worried right now.
No, it was because there were so many people trying to get to it.
No, it can't be.
Yeah,
it's unlimited. It's unlimited streaming, bro. It can't happen.
Well, I don't know what the problem was then.
Let me see if it's your phone. Hang on.
All right.
I'm going to see if it's your phone. I'm going to put myself to the test. What you hear, as Grandmaster Flash once said back in the day.
Oh, you got it. You got it on your phone.
Well, you know what you have?
I have an iPhone.
Your service sucks.
That's probably
what
it.
You have. Let's go back to... Let's go. Tell me your thoughts, though, before we do anything else on tonight's practice.
What's the buzz you're hearing, Christian?
Go ahead.
I thought one of the main problems was the kicker. The kickers looked absolutely awful. Butch Jones was asked about that. He said he's not worried, though, because they all have strong legs. But he said they will get to work on that this week because there was a lot more misses than makes. That's not a big thought, but the offensive line, there's been some changes. They had practice this morning as well. Butch Jones said they went a lot harder this morning than they did this evening. And it was, the thing is, the offensive line, there was a big shuffle. Kyler Kerbison, who's been working at guard since the spring, moved out to right tackle tonight. Deshaun Robertson, who just got to campus less than 3 months ago, was working with the ones at right guard. So I think that's a little bit of a concern. Coleman Thomas has been with the twos all week at right tackle after being with the ones throughout the spring and the first couple weeks of camp. So I think he's kind of taken not a step back, but just maybe hit a wall, so to speak. So, and then the quarterbacks, I didn't think they looked too good. Most people I talked to tonight didn't think they looked good. Butch Jones said they're improving their consistency. He wasn't overly pleased with them, it didn't sound like. But I'm not sure what people who saw it. I didn't have a great angle from the field there. I know some other media members were able to get in the press box, but I wasn't.
I'm going to get you to quit touching your headset.
Sorry, that's my bad.
I know. You got like a nervous tick, kid.
No, that's not it. I just am trying to be able to hear better.
Oh, well, let me turn you off.
Turn him up, Basilio.
You up a little.
There we go.
That's all I need, man. Let's go back to our busy phones at 865-200-5402. What happened to my man Bino? He was going to join us. We're going to get him in here. As I remind you tonight, ladies and germs, this is your fifth quarter fan reaction program, and I do want to hear from you at 865-200-5402. Christian Lundy, other thoughts on tonight, and then we'll go back and grab some more phone calls. You can't, to me, really tell much on tonight's scrimmage, or tonight's practice, rather.
Yeah, not a scrimmage.
Are all the practices that you've seen thus far, are they that vanilla, the parts
you've
seen?
It's almost, that was almost a carbon copy of what we see. I mean, we see a shortened version of that, but it was nothing out of the ordinary. That was kind of just an extended version of what the media sees. They did have a little more team action. We usually get maybe one team period if we're lucky. They got more than that tonight, but that's about standard of what we're able to see when we're in there. So anybody who in the media besides maybe Swain or Ainge or those guys who are able to see the whole thing, that's about what we see on a daily basis. So I mean, like you said, there's not much you could really see. They did not scrimmage like they kind of promised. Or not really promised, but they kind of sold it, I think. They tried to make people
scrimmage?
Yeah, did you
do you think so? Do you think so, Brock?
Well, they said it was an open practice, but I think the vast majority of people went in the stadium expected to see him line up and scrimmage.
I thought so too. I think a lot more people that were in there. There's no way all those people would have come to see that.
Well, I'm going to ask people that. That's interesting you'd bring that up. If you went tonight to tonight's practice, would you have come if you would have known that it was going to be a straight cheese practice? In fact, there was more scrimmaging and there were more quote-unquote football plays at last year's open workout.
Absolutely.
Not even close.
Yeah. I'll say I've seen practices with more team periods, with more teamwork than that. Like, just normal practices, you know, we see 8-9 periods out of, I guess, 18 or so. So we see about half the practice usually. And I've seen, there's been practices this year where we've seen more teamwork than we saw tonight.
Do you think that the idea tonight was to shield Christian? Were they shielding, do you feel like, what we saw with the quarterback deal? Was that designed to take some of the pressure off?
I don't know. I feel like it was the same kind of stuff we've been seeing. I don't know what, like I said, I don't know what people have thought of the quarterback play. I didn't get a great look at it, but people on the field and Butch after practice weren't too pleased with it. But I thought maybe, I don't know. I wouldn't say. I think it was just pretty typical. That's about what I expected to see tonight.
They've already named Worley.
Yeah.
So they're not going to change their minds at this point, I don't
believe. Well, no. But the point is, why feed that? Why feed that? And I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Could I be wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think it was very vanilla, obviously. There's not much to be taken from that, in my opinion, outside of maybe some depth chart shakeups that we saw. We saw more. But Butch said today after practice that what we saw tonight, as far as depth chart-wise, was not indicative of what you'll see against Utah State. He said starting Monday at practice, they'll start on Utah State stuff. He was just looking to see how people responded, different situations. So they might have done some things with the depth chart ones and twos that he said wouldn't carry over.
How many freshmen start?
I'm
not talking. I mean, I know there's a
how many will start is what he's asking
team.
You.
I'm talking offense and defense.
How many will
Who
start?
Do you think
I think Robertson will probably start, or I think so.
Wow, gonna come in off the street in a week and start.
He's been moving up. He's worked with the ones this week.
Yes, he did.
I think Dylan Bates might. I don't know if he's going to be listed as a starter, but he'll play start enough.
Yeah, enough to
almost
a co-starter.
Emmanuel Mosley was getting ones, but he's kind of fallen off the face. There's Mike Williams. You asked me about that, Tony. I think he's going to be the starter at corner opposite Cam Sutton.
That surprises people.
Yeah.
People on Twitter saying, where are you getting that?
I thought he had a nice scrimmage tonight working with the ones.
How close is Barnett?
I don't know. He did not start tonight, but I don't know if there was some kind of issue, but he's been working at the ones with Majid out, but tonight Latroy Lewis was defensive end opposite Vereen. So.
Brent is asking tonight on Twitter, talk about Blair. Is Blair getting better? Is Blair going to play?
Well,
what's the verdict on Blair?
This morning, Blair and Gillum kind of split reps with the ones at practice. But he had some kind of medical issue. Butch has a new policy this year where he does not discuss anything injury-related after practice. Last year, he kind of gave vanilla updates, but now nothing. He's kind of gone to Alabama and Belichick. You know, we're not going to say we're not even going to say anything besides he didn't participate. Blair,
you know, I don't with the HIPAA stuff.
Yeah, no doubt.
And plus. Man, I'm a coach. You know, I don't want.
There's
you
no to reason that. To, honestly.
Right.
But Blair today did suffer some kind of injury. It appeared early in practice, so we didn't get to see much of him tonight. But I think it could go either way. I still think it's going to be Gillum at left tackle. But
what kind of a statement is that?
But I don't know. Blair, I guess I think he is probably improved because
God
he was in bad shape in the spring. So I think he. I don't know what you can expect out of him, but I think he has improved a little bit. But I don't know if you should expect him to start against Utah State.
865-200-5402. We've got Christian dialed in now like never before. It's pretty unbelievable. As we go back to our busy phones, if you want to jump in with us tonight, would you have still gone if you went tonight, if you would have known that it was going to be a straight-up practice the way it was? You think, both of you guys seem to think that the crowd wouldn't have been that big for just...
It wouldn't have been.
Well, yeah, and people I talked to, I guess just other media members thought the same thing. They said, you know, there's no way all these people would have come if they had known there was going to be 15 periods of vanilla, just nothing. They didn't do any... They did two periods, I think, of teamwork. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
And
yeah.
And there was people... I was kind of joking with some people. There was people I was talking to. They said, this crowd still thinks they're just warming up for a scrimmage.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
Yeah.
And yeah, because I think people around me were shocked when Jeff Jernigan came on and said, it was about with 15 minutes left, hey, don't leave tonight's practice because Coach Jones is going to be taking the ALS challenge.
I'm not sure if you saw that, Tony.
And well, no, I had to get out of there because I had to get here. But the reaction from people around me was, why is he talking about the end of practice?
Yeah.
We just got here.
It was about a normal length of practice, maybe a little shorter than usual. Because usually they go about 2 hours. Tonight they went an hour and a half. But I think it was just, like you said, Tony, during this week, it's a good idea to let the people come.
It's a great idea.
A great idea. And I don't know how many people I think UT sent 40,000.
I'd say 40. Easy. 40 plus. And they ought to publicize it as 50.
I thought it's 30, 35.
That's all. I was right there. 30, 35.
It's a good crowd. Regardless.
It's a good vibe.
It's a great crowd.
You know, the thing about Christian, I think they could have gotten away with just two periods if they would have turned them loose.
Yeah, I do too. But they didn't even go to the ground. Yeah,
exactly.
Didn't even really.
I think that was probably the kick in the. And you know what, to the
so you people. Really think that you didn't
it
say that earlier?
It wasn't to me, but I'm thinking to the a lot of people that came.
I'll be curious if you want to share that with me at 865-200-5402.
But I enjoyed watching the practice. I love watching the drills, man. Particularly the wide receivers and the quarterbacks.
That's what I'm usually watching when I'm over there. Just the quarterbacks and wide receivers. But I will say they've had in periods that I've been over there, they've had drills where they've been much more physical than what we saw tonight, where they tackle to the ground. That would have been more interesting, I thought, to see.
Yeah, yeah,
because
I agree.
That's probably one of the most interesting things you see is when they have those drills where guys are going up against each other, tackling to the ground, you see fights break out, stuff
one
like
other
that.
Point, last
go
year,
ahead, then we'll go to the phones.
Last year they did the one-on-one stuff. They call them out.
I definitely expected to see that.
And they never did that tonight.
Oh, so. The circle of life.
Yeah, they did that at this
with
Orange and White game,
Timon
too.
And Pumbaa.
Yeah, they didn't do that tonight. I definitely expected to see that.
But you know what? It's the second of the two in the two-a-days, and we're getting kind of late. And you already had a guy in Salisbury go down. I wonder if that impacted anything. Although that kind of happened toward the end of one of the few. That's the irony.
They ended the last team period with on that play.
And that's the irony. Isn't that ironic?
Yeah.
Because if you could take anything back from that practice, it's that. And by the way, before we get Don in here and then Dustin, where were you when that injury occurred? Because I know you were down there. And what do you ascertain in terms of how bad that was?
I could not get a. I was on the opposite side of the field there.
Okay.
I was on the offensive side. He's obviously a defensive tackle. So
right.
I didn't really get a good look at it. It looked. The way Butch sounded after practice, he did not sound like it was something minor. You can't really tell, obviously. He wasn't just saying it was cramps or anything like that. I'm sure he would have said.
Yeah.
But he said, we'll have an update tomorrow at practice.
One of our frequent observers of these sorts of things said he could tell by the way the coaches, and we're talking about Travers Salisbury, who went down with an injury tonight, undisclosed, but it looked like a lower extremity injury, Brocky, as he was helped off the field, and then it did not look good when the coaches did go over there.
Yeah.
You can tell.
Yeah.
You can read the tea
fact,
leaves.
If you're watching him during the play, just the way it all happened, it just looked awkward. You know what I'm saying?
You know,
you see an injury and you just get that instinct that that doesn't look good.
And suddenly, Let's go back to our busy phones. As you're listening tonight, Smartway, Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction. And let's grab Don, who's next with us. Don, hello and welcome.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Don.
Hey, Don.
Appreciate you being on, Tony.
Thank you, Don.
I didn't get to go to the practice tonight, so I was really looking forward to, you know, listen to some of the discussion, people was there and everything. First of all, let's start with Salisbury deal. Man, when that guy last year. I think he plays the whole season last year. We got another win or two. It just kills me. And I know it kills him. And he spent all that time, and now here he is. You know, hopefully, you know, it's not season-ending, at least maybe somewhere he gets back. But I don't have a problem with, of course, I'm a football freak, fanatic, and I love watching practice. So just like your young man there said, I would have enjoyed, you know, watching them and watching drills and things like that. But that being said, people shouldn't take anything too much, I don't think, to the extreme good or bad about what they saw. I mean, we've seen that before, and then, you know, think they're world beaters and they're not. And we've seen teams that, you know, I've heard one of your competitors across the town talking about how horrible we looked in 98 before the Syracuse game. And then it was like, okay, you know, they didn't think the team could score, and then you end up with a national championship. So wouldn't take too much from that. I'll caution all the folks that are thinking that Peterman's not getting a break. I hope, and everything I've read, seen, and seen in the spring game, I think Peterman's over his Florida thing, and I think he is a very talented young man. But before anybody gets on the coaches too much, I mean, all we heard last year is, why is he not playing? And then he did, and you saw what happened. I'm not saying that's going to happen again, but I don't think the coaches want to play a player. I don't think Butch is the senior, even as much as Coach Former. I don't think he has senioritis. I believe he's going to play who he thinks gives us the best chance to win. What do you guys think?
Don, I think you had an excellent phone call. Brocky, let's work our way backwards. There is no senioritis with this guy.
No.
None.
No, I don't think so.
That's not why, ultimately, Worley won the job. Or he gave him the... That's ultimately not why Worley is named the starting quarterback. It is why. Yeah. Why is Worley ultimately the number one starting quarterback here?
Well, I would say experience and just the confidence in his ability to manage a game versus the other guys would be the reason he's a starting quarterback.
I agree totally. I think it's because they have the most confidence that he won't make a mistake, I think, because I think Dobbs and Peterman, I think Peterman definitely has had a better camp. I know Reed said the same thing. But
I think so, too.
I definitely think so. I think he's had the better camp. But
now, Christian, why do you think that? I haven't had you on since that erupted. Why do you think that?
That he's had a better camp?
Yes.
Because he, in team periods and in practice, he's actually been making fewer mistakes. Worley's thrown a few balls up off his back foot like we saw last year times. I saw tonight, I'm not sure if you guys saw it, but there was a couple throws. Like, there was a play where Marquez North made a great play on an underthrown ball by Worley, and there was a few underthrown balls, wide-open receivers. I think Peterman has had a better camp, but I agree with Butch Jones' decision to go with Worley because, from what I heard last season, Peterman also was much better than the other two the week of the Florida game, and you saw what happened there. So
yeah.
I think there's a little bit of a belief in the program that he might be a practice guy.
How about that, Brock?
We'll never know until he gets back on the field.
No.
He's able to, you know, to shake that.
But you know, certain guys are like that, aren't they?
Yeah, sure.
Certain guys are practice players.
Sure, and you have game.
And certain guys are. That's exactly right. Hey, like, let me ask you about Malone tonight. Malone a gamer?
Gamer.
You believe that?
I definitely. Well, I was talking to some other people who cover the team on a daily basis. They believe the same thing. He in drills, the coaches are all constantly on him when they're going through, you know, the mundane daily drills. He's going half speed sometimes. I mean, obviously that needs to be fixed to become the best player can be. Like Marquez North is always going
really working hard. Yeah.
And anytime they go team periods or what you saw at night, he's a mixed play.
Yeah.
By the way, the Associated Press, Steve Megary, who writes for the Associated Press, and I will read this to you. I will read this to you from the Associated Press. Tennessee coach Butch Jones said the Volunteers open practice Saturday should allow his team's 32 newcomers to enter the season with at least some idea of what it's like to perform in front of a big crowd in Neyland Stadium. the Volunteers tuned up for their August 31st season opener against Utah State with a workout that drew an announced crowd of 40,000 to Neyland Stadium. Now, what did Associated Press report, guys? Let me, give me the crowd.
That's the crowd I heard tonight. 40,000 from UT officials said the same thing.
Brocky?
40. Okay. Yeah, that's what I heard.
Basilio put on Twitter. and here's the thing. If I'm Tennessee, I put out 45,000, 50,000. Why not? And use it.
Yeah.
Use it in recruiting.
I heard some players asking some SIDs as after interviews concluded how many people are there. And so, obviously,
so they were really curious to know.
Yeah, like I heard Dylan Bantz, as soon as the interview concluded, or his short interview session, he asked SID, the guy who was escorting him out of there, he said, how many people showed up tonight?
Oh, my goodness.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. Let's grab another caller tonight on your smart way, Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction. And it's Dustin up next with us. Dustin, hello and welcome. Followed by JB, and you can get in with an open line at 865-200-5402. Dustin, hello.
Guys, what's going on? Glad you're back on.
Hey, man, great to talk to you.
Real quick, your guy, Reed Carringer, man, that kid's an up-and-coming star, man. We had him on today, and I found myself when he was talking, I totally forgot what I was going to ask him. He's just very inept. He knows what he's talking about, and he's going to answer questions. Like I asked him earlier today, I said, what are you going to see? He said, you're going to see four or five not even scrimmage. You're going to see a bunch of good stretches and one-on-one, and there's not going to be any circle alive. Most other people in his position wouldn't say that much, but I like the kid. He's very informative, great sight. All right, enough of the water carrying for them. But Brocky, do you think that it's really Justin Worley's – it's not really – it wasn't his job. It was Josh Dobbs to lose. Or has Worley just taken it over because just Dobbs has been that bad?
You know, I never – even in the spring, I never felt like it was Josh Dobbs' job to lose. Did you, Christian? I never did.
No,
I never felt that way.
From everything I heard, it was the only person who was really pushing Worley was Ferguson in the spring, from what I heard. And I think that might be, this hasn't really been talked about, but I think that could be, along with maybe trying to keep them, make sure everyone stays, because they're low on numbers.
Yeah.
I think the reason that they didn't name a starter after the spring is because Ferguson was actually, he was a guy who could have pushed Worley. But I think once Ferguson left, I think it was signed, sealed, delivered that Worley was going to be the guy against Utah State. I don't think Dobbs is really in play. Maybe if he had had a great, great camp, but that he hasn't.
He's just not had it.
Yeah.
Christian, was you at the media day last Thursday when they were interviewing the quarterbacks?
I was not there. I had a prior commitment, so I was not able to be there.
Okay, well, I fortunately was able to go, and everybody was directing all their questions to Dobbs and everybody but Peterman. I felt bad for the kid. I really did. But at the same time, if you look back on it, it looks like he's taking a different approach than everybody else. He didn't go to the expense of the quarterback coaches. He said he stayed home and worked on his fundamentals. Do you think that's just his approach that he thinks he needs to do?
Yeah,
go
ahead.
Do you think it's just everybody else is not playing as well as what he's trying to, you know, get that sour taste out of everybody's mouth with the Florida game? Because he was set up to lose. He had no chance in that game.
Well, I definitely agree with you. I talked to him, actually, at the very beginning of camp. They had some availability over there. I talked to Peterman. Everyone else was circled around Worley and Dobbs. I kind of asked him the same thing you asked. He went down to Florida to just throw at his high school with his high school receivers, while Dobbs and Worley were with, obviously, George Whitfield. And,
let me ask you guys a global question now that you brought that up, because I asked Reed about this the other day. If I were coaching, I would say to these quarterbacks, I'm glad people have figured out a way to monetize your position. I'm glad people have figured out a way to get rich calling themselves a quarterback guru. I'm glad. Okay? But we have a quarterback's coach, and I pay him six figures a year to coach you. I don't want you going to somebody else, unlearning things that we teach you. You don't need to be. You know what the head coach at Florida State said, don't you? Jimbo Fisher? He said, we have a quarterback coach here. We don't want our quarterbacks going out and studying under Whitfield. I don't need them to come back and unlearn something that we don't teach in our in our system.
Well, that's interesting.
And why, Brock, are we so willing, eager to turn guys over that we make an investment in when we pay, last time I checked, we pay our quarterbacks coach a buck and a quarter, buck and a half.
He makes more than that.
I mean, okay. you tell me. You tell me, Brocky.
Excuse me.
Why? What's the deal?
Well, I guess there's a couple of different ways to look at it. If you look at George Whitfield's records and the quarterbacks he's worked with, he's became a guru for a reason, Tony. You know, the guys that supposedly he's helped improve. So, you know, and sometimes it's you can get something out of one coach that maybe you can't out of another.
We've had
it's good to hear another voice.
We've seen a tremendous improvement from our guys after working with them.
I'm not saying it's worked on those two behalf. I can't say that. So,
so you don't agree with me that you would say I have a coach?
I don't know, man. I just don't know what to tell.
What is Whitfield going to teach him that our quarterback's coach isn't, because he's worked with Peyton Manning more? I mean, I don't understand that, to your point, Tony. And is it more so that they're trying to shield the quarterbacks? Or are they trying to keep everybody's eye off the ball with a very young offensive and defensive line? Guys, keep it up.
You know, I don't know. It's going to be, I tell you this, people make a lot, and we've had a lot of conversation. And if you go into any market where you have a issue at quarterback, you're going to have this kind of conversation. It doesn't matter. You go to any market. You listen to Cleveland Sports Radio right now. They're talking about Hoyer, Manziel.
Yep.
You listen to any other place where there's a little bit of uncertainty at quarterback. It doesn't. Exactly. And it's,
which I like Bortles, by the way. But
absolutely. but it's what makes the phone ring, right? It's people love to focus on the quarterback deal. Here's the truth about Tennessee this year. We were talking about this earlier, Christian, before you got in here, and then we'll go back to our phones. But for those just joining, the reality this year is that two guys are going to play quarterback this year. We'll start games. I can tell you that. How do you know? Because if let's say Worley plays really well, okay, and I'm not wishing ill on anybody. Playing behind that offensive line, if he can answer the bell week in and week out, playing behind that offensive line, I will, in this league, I will have to believe that when I see it.
Well, he couldn't do it last year playing behind that offensive line.
No.
He got hurt.
Great point.
So chances are there's going to be two quarterbacks
right
at some point. You're going to need a second guy.
So no matter who the other guy, the guys that are 2 and 3 on that depth chart right now,
well, I'll say this,
need to keep that head
if
off.
Peterman's won this thing like Christian and Reed, those guys think, and I tell you what, he handles himself really well and goes about his business the right way, because it's not like he's raising a big stink about it at all. So
no, he's not, is he?
Seems to be a really good teammate.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402 is the number.
I'm more worried about the protection of the quarterbacks than I am the
quarterback. I think I am too.
And that's where I was going. As we get JB in here, who's next with us. JB, hello.
Tony, thanks for doing the show tonight.
Hey, thank you, man.
Brocky, first of all, it reminds me of the old great Saturday show. Now, Brocky, is it? Now, if the new Saturday show that's going to have Doug Matthews and Coach Fulmer, are they interviewing you for the Philly spot on that show?
Would you be interested, Brock?
Well, Fulmer's been pushing me to get it.
Make it work, I think.
Fulmer wants me to get that gig, but I don't know, man. I'm hoping out for more money, JB.
If you didn't hear that Saturday show, you missed a lot. Maybe it'll come back. Christian Lundy doing a great job. Your dad is proud, I'm sure.
And I appreciate
thank you for
that.
The work you do.
Yes, sir.
By
thank
the way,
you.
Glad to hear Dustin and Jervy shows on Saturday at 11 o'clock every Saturday on our WJBE. So should listen to the show. By the way, Dustin Jervy said he's getting tired of carrying you, buddy. So do work, buck up a little bit, will you, please? Guys, the thing I see here is that the truth is, looking at this team, forget about tonight. Tonight was a dog and pony show. Jordan Williams and Danny O'Brien won't take any double-team blocks. That means we're going to be able to double-team and put some extra protection against our defensive ends, or maybe send a line by linebackers. That doesn't bode well. You can't win in the SEC if you don't have to double-team somebody in the defensive line. That's where the pressure comes from. Offensive line, we have a walk-on and two freshmen. And in the mix, Jashawn Robertson comes on. Now, Marcus Jackson came on the campus and started, but he had already had some experience. It shows you that our offensive line is a working product. If those tight ends can't block and chip, we don't have a back somewhere to block, I'm really worried about the health of our quarterback, fellas.
And that's what I was getting at before, JB, and I think that's I think that's, I think you made some great points on both sides of the football there. And by the way, that's why the injury tonight that happened, we better hope, is not serious. Cause that's the one guy, if you were going to make a list, he's on your first four or five fingers in terms of guys you can't lose for the upcoming year.
Well, we had Natavius Blair and Owen Williams both had to come up and play at SEC level, and neither guy has really done that. And when you're hoping for JUCO kids to come up and pull your team up in this league, you're whistling to the graveyard usually, unless they're super athletes. So a lot better, and we have good receivers. I think Hurd is a guy who can take some. He'll be a force on the screen and a great runner. But boy, this defensive front doesn't scare anybody. And if Vereen and Majid, if he's healthy, and even these other kids, Hendricks and these other kids, they're being blocked or double teamed, it's hard to get pressure on the quarterback. That's my big concern, fellas.
I agree, JB. And you talked about Blair and Williams, and
they had to come through for us.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure it's going to happen. I hope I'm wrong. Maybe I'll be proven. Do you think Owen Williams? Do you think he can be? What's your take on him? He looks.
I don't think he's really a difference maker.
Yeah.
But I think he's very strong, I guess, SEC ready physically, but I don't know how well he can play.
Yeah, I agree.
He looks like it, in other words. He looks like it.
Yeah, I mean, he's very strong from everything I've heard. Very, he knows what he's doing out there, but I don't know if he actually can execute.
Well, in the SEC, fellas, the offensive defensive line tell the tale. And that's where this team will rise and fall. All these flashy receivers don't help us if our quarterback's sitting on his fanny in his third and 19.
Well, JB, it goes back to 2012, particularly on the offensive side of the ball.
Absolutely.
When Derek Dooley decided not to sign one offensive lineman in that class.
By the way, I remember the Kentucky game when Dobbs threw that duck that should have been intercepted, but it was tipped for a touchdown. If that ball's picked, it's a whole different story for us.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Dobbs is a guy that you're right, Tony. He looks more lost than he did when I first saw him as a first quarter freshman.
JB, I'm just going to say this, and I've said this all along about Dobbs, and it's not a knock on the kid.
I wanted, by the way.
Hey, they talk about. I mean, I'm sure he is really a really smart kid. He's never looked football smart to me, and that is he's really can adapt to the speed.
Isn't that interesting?
And just what takes place on a football field.
And you know darn right well he's 100 million times smarter than a Michael Vick.
Yep.
But a Michael Vick on a football field has instincts, man, and instincts is a God-given thing.
That's exactly
one
right.
Last question, fellas. Brocky, would you take that job if Flat Bill came on the crew with you?
Thank you, JB.
Just real quick, I know we have the callers.
Go ahead.
My buddy Bino texted me, and he made a really good point regarding George Whitfield, and is those guys are going to see him at a time of the year that they can't work with, but JB.
I don't care.
That's
stupid.
I was going to make the same point.
It's stupid.
Okay, you can argue Beto about it. I like
the guy at Florida State who says, no, we have a coach on our campus. We're not monetizing George Whitfield. I'm not here to make money for George Whitfield. And the rest of these specializing.
Well, the one thing I would do.
These people that have found these niches in sports. Give me a break.
I understand there was there were several quarterbacks at that thing. If I'm going to get a quarterback coaching, I'd better prefer it to be in a small group or even a one-on-one setting versus.
Well, that's the thing I was going to say to you.
Half the big time quarterbacks in college football are at that thing.
Yeah.
Right. So what is it?
Yeah.
It's that guy making money.
Yeah.
And then he's throwing your head full of a bunch of nonsense.
Well, we don't know that. We don't know that.
Those guys look better to you? Those guys look better to you than they were in the spring? Do they look better to you?
Can't blame it on him?
Yeah, I think that's
I can't not blame it on him. I can't unblame it on him.
Oh, goodness.
I'm not going to blame it on him, but I can't rule it out as a contributing factor, can I?
It may very well be. I can't say.
So I can't blame it on him, but you can't say for certain that he has nothing to do with it.
Let me ask you this, though.
Go ahead.
What if they showed marked improvement? Who would you be crediting for it?
You'd
be crediting George Whitfield.
Them.
And the work they did with him.
Them.
That's what you would be doing.
But that's what Whitfield does. Who does Whitfield take that are guys like... Now, here's the thing I'd like to know about a guy like that. And by the way, if you want to get in with us tonight, 865-200-5402. And then I am...
Let these guys play a football. I understand that.
But here's my question. Who among their ilk does George Whitfield grab and make better? Anybody can take Peyton Manning and make him look better, right?
Yep.
Anybody can take Tiger Woods and treat and train like that Sean Pody guy, whatever his name is, the guy from the mid-state down in Nashville. I mean, anybody can train that. What's that guy's name? Sean Pody, isn't it?
Who?
Sean, the Tiger Woods teacher.
Sean Foley.
Sean Foley.
Foley.
Yeah. I'm sorry, yeah. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Eric, you're in Bristol. I want you to stay right there because I'm going to let you talk to our man of the hour here. I'm not even going to ask Reed Carringer if he'll take some phone calls for us because he will. But Reed Carringer, you are at RockyTopInsider.com. And I would like, before we get Eric in Bristol here, your thoughts on what we saw tonight in 45 seconds. Go, my friend.
Well, one, thanks for having me. And then two, I thought it was a good crowd tonight. And I thought that Butch Jones got what he wanted to get accomplished. And that was put some of the kickers out there. I expected to see the kickers struggle a little bit as they faced their first sort of college atmosphere, medley specifically coming from high school. And then I think he wanted his quarterbacks to get some live reps, and they had some mixed reviews. And but that's what he wanted. Just got to get out there and get a game situation simulated. And it's the closest you can get to a preseason game in college football, unfortunately. And I think that's something that they should look at implementing in the future because I think it helps a lot of these programs.
Implementing in the future, meaning?
Just give them a chance to scrimmage instead of playing UTC. Play an FCS team in the spring or in the fall and help both programs out.
Well, listen, I mean, in a time where they're trying to find as much revenue as humanly possible, I mean, these guys have never turned a dollar down. If you played an exhibition game with a Virginia Tech in Neyland Stadium, an exhibition game with a Clemson, and you said, "Look, the score doesn't count, but we're going to have a controlled scrimmage."
You wouldn't want to do it with that. But
yeah,
you'd want to do it with headliners. Man.
You'd want to do it like Reed said with UTC
or a UT Martin
ETSU,
or somebody like that.
Why? No, you give yourself a look, like the NFL does. The NFL last night, my Eagles won against New England.
I like the Harbaugh camp, the Niners and Ravens last week.
Yeah,
too.
Why not? Why not? And you tell the other coach, look, if this goes well, we'll do it next year with you. But we're not going to get anybody hurt. We're not going to blitz. We're not going to do anything crazy. Let's give our guys a good live look and let's tackle. There's nothing wrong with that. What would be wrong with that, Brocky?
I wouldn't do it.
Would people show up for it?
Oh, there's no question to be full. There's no doubt about that. For revenue and all that stuff, absolutely.
And the kids would like it, too, Reed. The kids would like that.
Absolutely. And it'd be good. I mean, I think it'd be legitimately good for the football teams. And this is as close as you can get to that. I like that Butch Jones has done that. I like that he's willing to pull back the curtain a little bit and let the fans see what goes on behind the scenes at practices. And I'm all for access for media, fans, you know, whatever. So any time that they open up the doors of Neyland or the practice field or whatever, I'm for it.
Reed, other things that stood out to you, and then I'm going to get Eric from Bristol, who's up next with us tonight, ladies and germs, as you are listening to, and I remind you of this, you're listening to the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Reed, what else stood out to you?
Well, hey, it's been a blast. I've caught actually the entire show. I'm down here in the media room working. And so it's been a blast. I appreciate you doing this. It's really fun. I think I want a couple things. I wanted to answer the Evan Berry thing. That was a tweet. You all were spot on. Butch yelled at him over the mic. He's been picking on the Berries a little bit this week, both Evan and Elliot, for kind of jogging back and not running and giving his all out there on the practice field. That's what that tweet was in reference to. Just wanted to clear that up. He didn't do anything else. And then I guess the rest that you've been talking about, Salisbury, is a big loss for this team, and it did not look good. Anytime you see a big man like that who's had a history of knee problems leave the field, not putting any weight on his leg, and he just now started really refining his form. We saw him take some big steps forward last year, and I think he was going to be a nice player, and then just got banged up, and then he was still struggling to kind of get back in football shape, really, throughout fall camp. He was struggling to make an impact until this week, and to see him go down, that's just That's tough for that kid and tough for this football team.
You know, to me, Reed, when I look at those defensive linemen, I mean, defensive tackles, he's the one guy out there that looks like an SEC type defensive tackle to me.
Yes, he does.
Jordan Williams, and O'Brien and those other guys, I just don't see.
Well, like JB said,
you
look at a guy at this level, and you want him to be successful, you want a guy that will command double teams.
Yeah.
Or at least the thought of one.
Yep.
Not spindly guys. Guys that look like houses. And you know what's tough, Reed, about a guy like that? First of all, I hate seeing any of these kids get hurt because they put so much work into it, and it breaks my heart for them. But when a big guy like that suffers an injury to a lower extremity, do you know how difficult that is for that kid to come back from even a minor tweak when you're that big, Reed? It's
right.
Difficult.
Now that's something, we don't know what's happened. I just want to clear that up. We don't know what's going on with his knees, but he's had a history of knee problems and looks like he suffered a fairly serious knee injury today. He laid on the field for a couple of plays. The team went on and kind of kept scrimmaging down the other side of the field, but it does not look good for him. And that's something that, you nailed it, tough for them to come back from. That's something that some of those guys, they live with forever. It's just tough when you're that big to get heal your body, heal your knees, those joints, those ligaments, once they get stretched out, even with modern medicine, it can have really life-changing effects. So obviously hoping the best for Travis Salisbury, who is he's just a big, goofy kid, and he's worked hard to get back into playing shape, and it's tough to see.
Reed, you called what they were going to do tonight. Do you get the sense, have you gotten a sense from people you've interacted with this evening that fans were that we wouldn't have had as huge a crowd if we would have known that they were going to scrimmage as infrequently as they did this evening? Do you buy that? Because I don't know if I do.
I buy it a little bit. I don't know if anybody really knew what to expect. Look, I'm over here more than I'm at my house the last few weeks, and I didn't know exactly what to expect. But it went about as I think they had hoped. I think some media members were upset that they didn't show more. Last year, you all nailed it again, and they showed more. It was more of a true scrimmage-type environment. They showed more team situations, even in that pouring rain of last year. And I think you probably wouldn't have had as many fans come. I don't know if you got the word out what was going to go on. I know some people, look, the majority came from Knoxville in the Knoxville area, but I'm sure some people drove in from town, too.
We'll find out next year.
We will find out next year because they're going to do it again.
Yep.
And I'll tell you this.
They're not going to open it up a ton.
I love it. If I were them, I'd make it bigger and bigger. I would try to have like a post-game concert. You know, they brought those kids in there on a bus. Why not have an act afterwards? Make a festival out of it. Make a fun. It's a great thing. It's a celebration of football. It officially says, hey, guys, 15 days from now, we're kicking that football off.
Right.
It's a beautiful thing.
This is the last of two-a-days, too. This is the third of the three two-a-days, right? Am I right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So I kind of
put that to bed, too. So
let's go back to our phones. I didn't even ask Reed if he'll take phone calls, because he will.
He's going to.
Unless, Reed, does your Vol Network contract preclude you from doing that?
It does not preclude me.
I'll say this to you. After your take on the quarterback issue, I don't know about your Vol Network future. Maybe we can work you through the back door. My sources will talk to yours. Let's get Eric in here, who's up in Bristol listening to us. Eric, thanks for being there, man.
Hey, guys. Good night.
Hey, great talk to you.
Here's my question for you. They said, I know Worley's going to be our starter. Do you see who could be a number two right now? I mean, I know because Peterman's put up such a great, spring and fall so far. And then another thing, do you think that the guys are going to get tired of, not North, but, with him just kind of going 50% during practice? I know he may be a game time receiver. Do you see, Dougherty actually going to get an open shot, since everybody's saying that no one thinks that it's fair that he's calling it an open contest between everybody, but everybody's thinking that Peterman's the best right now.
Now that's interesting. Reed, I'm not going to say you started this, Reed, because you started it. So let me throw this at your feet, Reed. Do you believe that what Butch Jones is doing with the quarterback situation right now has anything to do with them looking at the tea leaves and saying, "Hey, Peterman's back here next year. In the best world, Worley wins this job, does the job. We play Peterman some. He doesn't get to play. He's not the starting quarterback. And then this Dormandy kid, we can hold on to him in recruiting." Do you think they?